This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 6th of June, 1955. The title of this lecture is The Mechanisms of Ownership in Living. This lecture is 61 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. How are you today?
Fine.
Good, good. Group processing getting anywhere with anyone?
Yes.
Well, that's fine. A couple of small misnomers. As usual, rumor and conflict goes rife. Wherever you have a human communication line, you have a communication line. If you realize all these walls are made out of second postulates which are incorrect, and they have to perforce contain a lie, then you can see the communication very often contains an error. The Hazy in Phoenix, Arizona continues to teach the HCA BSCN course as always, and the Hubbard Guidance Center there continues to process as always. No upset along these lines at all. The Hazy goes on. As far as organizations in Scientology is concerned, these go on too. There are a great many more of them coming up than there are now. Of course, the central proprietor, you might say, of the trademarks of Scientology and so forth are the Hazy. So the Hazy stays in a control position with regard to these things, simply to guarantee an excellence of processing without which Scientology would not go afoot. Now, we owe that to the public. We owe that to you. Now, here is another thing. The training courses, which are available from people who have the right to train, who operate training establishments. And there are two or three of these in the East, and training is very good. However, the Hazy continues to train. Now, in the whole problem of training and processing, it is a very poor thing to give somebody less than everything one has to offer. In other words, the auditor who does the auditing should at that time be in possession of the very best processes he knows and the very best he can do at the time. The PABs are remarkably responsible for this sort of thing. I haven't heard too much lately, fan mail, you might say, on the PABs, but they continue to come out. Mm-hmm. I write them, I put them out, I try to keep people up to date with the professional auditor bulletins. These are mailed from the HAS London, another organization. And London is very punctual with these, one of the most punctual publications we have. I believe there was only one issue which was even vaguely missing on the PABs on this coast. Only one issue. And that was in a plane that crashed. And if anybody is missing one of his PABs, just write to London and say he didn't get it, because there was a plane load of PABs that did crash and burn, I think, in Greenland. And the mail was recovered to some extent, and a few fragments of these PABs were sent through. Well, it must have been very explosive material. But the special memberships and professional memberships in the Hazy continue to bring you publications. Now, here we have the fourth day of this very fine Congress. You certainly are great people. And on this day, I would very much like to fill in with a few fast rushes the material which I've been going over. My brain thought all this up, by the way. That's the best way to remember this, you know. Say, you know, you think up something and you say, boy, I sure got a nice brain there to thought that up. You get a misownership on it and you've got it. One of the reasons people don't retain anything they learn in school is merely because they continue in the considerable and terrible error that the information belongs to the school. And if you continue to say, well, that's arithmetic there, the property of the arithmetic teacher. And if you don't feel that you made it all up yourself, you're not going to remember arithmetic. And in that is the secret of how to study. That is the secret of how to study. Own the information. Now, every now and then we get an HCA student. We have quite a time in the Phoenix HCA class because the instructors are all eager beavers, and they work real hard with the student, and there's a week of indoctrination. And now, before they even go into the HCA course, just bring them up to date so they won't mess up auditing and so forth. And so the school runs along very calmly. And one of the students was trying to memorize the axioms out of the creation of human ability, which you have here at this conference. He was trying to memorize these axioms. They were not in the book at that time. They were simply on a mimeographed sheet. And would come around to me every day or two and tell me how wonderful it was for me to have thought up and put together all these axioms. But the only trouble, the student would keep saying, is that I can't seem to remember them. I read them and they're gone, and it's just such a wonderful job that you did. Instructor got hold of her and said, now will you please get the idea that you wrote these axioms? She never had any trouble thereafter. Remember them all verbatim. Of course, I got less admiration, but we got a better student. Well, now that is the secret of how to study, and that's a little datum that you might find useful. You might find very useful. The ability to possess information or objects depends upon the ability to misown it. In view of the fact that your parents and teachers worked so hard and so arduously for so long to get you to be a truthful character, I can't then conceive of how, if you were made to be such a truthful character, and how everything had to agree with absolute fact, you're here remembering or owning anything. How do you fit these together? If you know you have to tell the truth all the time, and must never, under any circumstances, lie about anything or misrepresent a single fact anywhere, it is a certainty that your having this will get shot. Why? Because if you continue to pick up the absolute correct ownership of every subject you study, and if you never tell yourself the little fib that, I did it, or somebody else did it, you'll get no persistence of the data. Do you follow me? You'll never own a car if you were totally truthful about it. There's the car. It was created by Detroit. You go on saying, well, I've got a slip of paper here. That's a lie, however. Detroit owns my car. It'll be an awfully thin car you'll be driving down the road. It won't be very real. You have to have the faculty of saying to yourself, well, I've certainly got a nice car here. Now, if you wanted to assert a better ownership and control of the body, you would do exactly what people do all the time when they are difficult to exteriorize, which is to say, me, my body. And if you had difficulty in getting out of your familial arena, you would have made this mistake. You know, you couldn't exteriorize very easily from your family, or you couldn't exteriorize your wife or your husband from the family. That's one of the more difficult problems, trying to exteriorize the marital partner from the family. Comes up every now and then. We would have this kind of a lie going forward. My family, my father, my mother. I am their child. You'd be interiorized into the family. You'd be a very close member of the family. Now, if we go on the basis that all proximity and contact with anything alive or any group is bad, this will make you very unhappy. Little child's going around all the time saying, my mother. Well, let's look over what happens here. My mother? No. Body's mother, if you please. The body's mother is the correct statement. And that'll, as is, all these terminal closures. Well, body's mother. How are you, body's mother? And you never get stuck in mama's universe. There's never would, you see. You never get stuck and start thinking mama's thoughts and having mama's lumbosis. But if you go around saying all the time, the incorrect ownership, the misownership of mother, my mother, this Thetan, understand, who came here from, well, he just narrowly missed a very long rap in the penal colonies of Orion or something. He got here, that's parascientology. He got here, you see, and he took over this body, and he's never had much relationship with Earth or this family or the genetic line or anything, and then starts to say, my mother. And starts to call himself an earthman. And then wonders why he gets so heavy. You see, he stated a misownership, which gives him mass. Now, let me go into this a little more carefully with you, because it's absolute black magic when you start looking this over. It's very simple, extremely simple. In order to have any space or mass, or the persistence of any object or even idea, the element of misownership has been injected by this race, this planet, in this universe at this time. That doesn't mean that you couldn't make a postulate. If you were good and clear, you could simply make a postulate and say, there is a mass, it will persist, it is persisting, and that would be that. And it would stay there on and on because you said it would, until the moment when you remembered that you said it, at which moment it would go, and that would be the end of that mass. To keep yourself from thus accidentally, as is in your wife, you then say, my wife. And they were so anxious about this from cave times forward up till the beginning of this century, that wives were chattels. They were owned. I think you could even mortgage them and borrow money on them from the finance companies. So they were property. Now we wonder why the knights of old and so forth got so stuck on horses, you know, and got so hepped about it, or while the girls down here at Warrenton, Virginia, are so stuck on horses. You ever run into any of these horsey girls down from work? Quite interesting people. They keep talking about my horse, implying they created the horse. My, that's a nice solid horse, you know. My horse, my stables, my farm. And then you say to them some fine day, let's take a ride in a car, or let's take a run up to New York. They're not going to exteriorize from that situation. They're not even going to be able to pull a body out of it. Because it's all misowned. And therefore, they close terminals with it, and it is terrifically solid. Now, gravity itself depends on ownership. So if you kept talking about my planet Earth, or if you concocted or went along with this fantastic lie
Man was born by Earth out of a sea of ammonia. And it was all an accident, but Earth gave birth to us all. Boy, you get heavy. That's why the modern scientist has flat feet. He keeps subscribing to this theory that Earth produced him. Now, how far can we go on Avia? Now, the test is by saying, Earth made me. And just by believing that consistently and continually, would a person get any lighter and finally levitate? No. Crunch, crunch, crunch. He would get into such a pass eventually that he would not be able to carry even the smallest suitcase. It would just be too heavy. Work would be insupportably terrible. What, having to pick up that sofa pillow? Having to pick up these feet? See, I am an earth man. I am a body. You get the idea? Earth made me. It is my planet, my farm, my land, my mother, my horse. All implying that you made Earth, planet, mother, horse, you know. Or that mother made you a Thetan. And boy, you'd certainly get dead in the head after a while, believe me. And then you kind of start skidding. And you finally wind up where the Greeks kept their Thetans. You know where the Greek interiorized into? He interiorized into the stomach. It's fantastic, but he did. You find it in all of his scientific writings. Thinkingness is done by the stomach, and so forth. You look back in very ancient literature. They believed that the soul was in the stomach. All right, we look this over, and we find out then that these principles of ownership and misownership permit us to acquire, to have, or not to have practically at will. And if you had this factor under good control, you could exteriorize out of any situation or off of any planet or out of any trap. If you had this right down, you see. Now, very often a person has to come up to a point where he can face this idea of ownership. That is merely a matter of how well his postulates stick. That chart I gave you the other day is a gradient scale of how easily an individual can make his postulates stick. And when he can't make his postulates stick very well and is below the level of ownership, you see, he would be well down. Then he thinks, I own this and I own that, and he does such a faint job of it that he doesn't as is everything. But as soon as he comes up scale and gets into pretty good shape, you say, all right, now get the idea that you own your mother. That's funny, I feel different. So you'd get an instantaneous separation of universes. The fellow was in real good condition, you see. Instantaneous. He'd find himself working for the Bureau of External Securities or working for the committee that is going to probe the security of all the security agencies or something like that. And he'd keep talking about my committee, my job. And his wife would less and less find herself capable of getting him out to a movie or getting him out to a bridge game or a picnic or getting him to take a little run up to New York and see a play or something like this. His wife would just find it harder and harder to do this. Well, what's happening is the individual, every time he says, I miss ownership, which is my job, my office, you see, and I have to do this and that and so on. He's just pinning himself down tighter and tighter and tighter. He's getting a terminal closure because he's getting more and more solidity, more and more mass, and more electromagnetic attraction. And as he gets more and more electromagnetic attraction, he is less and less able to pull himself off of those bulkheads. Now, every once in a while, you say to somebody, be 3 feet back of your head. He is. You say, all right, copy, 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 and the rest of Route 1. And he's not going along too well. And he goes over and he happens to touch the back of his chair with a quote hand, unquote, or something like that. And then he goes, That's horrible stuff, that mist. That's terrible. Terrible. You get stuck on it. What's he done? What's the answer to this? The answer to this situation is simply that he has so much misownership on that wall that he sticks to it. It has enormous gravitic attraction for him at the. And after a person's been on this planet and told this lie long enough and often enough and believes it thoroughly enough, he, as a Thetan, accumulates mass to such a degree that gravity has an attraction for him. And this condition could exist. You say to somebody, be 3 feet back of your head, and let's say he got out, as occasionally he does. Be 3 feet back of your head. He goes out, and he goes right down to earth. Bang! The gravity's working on him. And you would say that a solid body is simply something which has been so thoroughly misowned and which is so thoroughly misowning that it is sufficiently in gravitic attraction with Earth that it sticks here regardless of the centrifugal force. That's gravity. That's also weight. That's also thinness. Now let's take this terrifically thin person. They see a wall and they go zong. You ask them to eat something and they say, all right, I'll eat a hearty dinner. Have you got any toast? Now they won't eat, they won't acquire mass and so forth. Now this person is probably doing something obsessively, quite in reverse, but obsessive, you understand. This person is obsessed with the idea that they cannot have and cannot own. And all this is, all the total obsession is they cannot tell a lie. And a person who is absolutely obsessed with telling the truth, where we define truth, you see, as agreement with this universe. You see, that is, there are two kinds of truth. Truth is what, one, what's true. And two, is what is in agreement with what has been and is being at the moment, which same contains a lot of lies. See, there's two kinds of truth. This fellow, he says, well, and he says, I am basically a static, and I can do this and that. All right, that's a truth. There's another kind of truth. He was down at Joe's bar last night until 10:03, drinking scotch. And he says to somebody, asks him the next morning, now, where have you been? And he said, I was down at Joe's bar last night until 10:03, drinking scotch. Okay, now, that is agreed upon truth. Other people saw him there and so on. He can prove it, in other words. Actually, it doesn't matter a darn. Somebody says, where were you last night? Oh, I went to the opera. Person says, well, there's no opera playing in Washington at this time. There isn't. Well, I just created some. Now, this is not really a departure from truth. It is a walk into imagery, creative living. He just creates a time track. But a person who has been utterly and absolutely convinced that he must not at any time create any time track, even vaguely independent of what everybody else has experienced, is pinned into an obsessive truth. I really don't know they're doing this, and they'll get pretty darn thin. They will lose things. Things will disappear on them. They have a tendency to fade away. Why? Because they've got to state the exact and correct ownership of everything all the time. They're doing this all the time. So they're not owning anything. And boy, if you could just be this person as a Thetan for a little while, you'd look out at the wall, and boy, that wall would be thin. You run this person on 8C, and this person is very doubtful of how deep the fingers will sink into that wall. You know, everything is light, filmy, no substance or substantialness to existence. And these people are thin. The other person is misowning on a grand scale. Gives him weight, gravity, and so on. The other person is owning as obsessively on the exact correct scale, and he hasn't anyway. Fantastic. But you'll see this happen. Now, if you want your car And you see, if you know the secret behind all this, it's very simple for you to own and misown at will. Now, any time that you had a car and you liked the car and then you sold the car and felt bad and experienced loss, you see, well, you of course must have ceased to misown the car. I mean, you didn't go about it properly. You said, "There goes my car." Well, the moment you sold it, you should have simply given yourself the new postulate. You simply said something like, "Made by Detroit, his car. Goodbye." You'd feel no grief. You know, it's gone, so what? All right, now we take a departed ally. People going around saying, "My grandfather is dead." Or black screens and so forth. What's the thing? You could have said, "My grandfather." That would have made him very solid. Right up to the moment he died. He would have said, "Genetic line, body's grandfather. No longer exist. Cause of death, his. Picture of death, mine." No reaction. That's cancellation of reaction. Merely state the truth of the situation. In other words, when you stop playing a game, straighten out its ownership before you leave the field. Because if you don't, you won't leave the field. So how do you get off a playing field? Just get the correct ownerships of everything. You loused all these things up so you could have a game. Now let's admit that we did this and then admit the correct ownership of all the pieces and spaces in which the game was being played, and you can leave the playing field. Here's your football player who was the star of the college team. And so forth, and now he's selling bonds. And they say, "Well, that's Mr. Grange or somebody, and he was All-American for such and such a time." We look at this fellow and we say, "Why in the name of common sense can't this individual stop playing football? He's now 42 years of age. He was once an intelligent man. Why is he still playing football?" Well, you don't recognize entirely the complete mechanism behind it. He's not only playing football. He never left the game with Army. He's still there. And he gets to be 46 and all of a sudden develops what they call athlete's heart. Why should he develop athlete's heart? His heart is still playing football. In other words, any playing field is a playing field because you're misowning the game and players and the ground on which it's being played. The musician says, "My music, my organ, my piano." Says this very consistently, and so keeps in mass form music. The instrument stays in there playing the game. And then one day, some reason or other, decides to be a painter. You should ask yourself, why doesn't a musician every now and then suddenly become a painter? Well, the oddity is they do. They do. They get tired of playing music and start painting, something like this. They'll swap fields. But, oh my goodness, the person who does this is practically clear. I mean, they're just natural. You know, boy, are they in good shape if they can do this. Now, we take this person who's not in this terrific condition and they're saying, my musical instrument, my music, my career, so forth, and they're talking about this, you see. And then one day they find they're not getting much attention for this or something, and they decide to paint. Where are they? Where are they really? Where are they stuck on the track? They're sitting at that instrument. They'll be there for years because they never left the playing field. Now, sharpen up your ears, you people who know your Dianetics. This is the mechanism of getting stuck on the track. And although the word can stick a person on the track, a phrase and all that, a person can get stuck on the track with these. There is a more basic, a more fundamental mechanism than this. And that is, they misowned things till they had a playing field. And then when other factors entered and the game ceased to be playable, they never left the playing field. In other words, they never straightened out the misownership they started with. They had to have misownership, you know. It wasn't their field at all. They didn't have anything to do at all with making this field. Nothing whatsoever. And then they say, my playing field. See? Misownership. They have a body, a doll, a biological doll, such as you wear. And this biological doll is the piece they are using to play the game. And so they say, my body, you know, I made it. But they make very sure that they stole one, so they didn't. And in this, they say, my fellow players. Well, now that is actually correct. So they have to find something a little bit wrong with them so they don't quite own them. You know, they have to be a little critical. Introduce some feeling of doubt about the minus of my fellow players. That keeps a crowd around. And then they say, the enemy. They belong to them, but the funny part of it is, to have a really good enemy, you had to have a lot to do with creating him. And then you had to say, I didn't have a thing to do with it. And you'll have a nice, solid opposition. Nice enemy. See how easy it is. Then when the game's over, just straighten out the factors of ownership of that game. There's no consequence or liability to it. You exteriorize from that game. Now let's take language. Why is it, if your genetic entity was once French, you do not, like a nightingale, speak French? In the first place, you haven't stirred it up. In the second place, the GE has never left the French playing field. There's sort of a stuck line on the whole thing. This is a fascinating fact. The GE isn't going to up and talk French anyhow. You've got to talk the language that the GE talks. But why, if you, as a Thetan, had a French body, why don't you talk French now? Why can't you talk French? Well, as a matter of fact, if you did an improper jump out of the French playing field, if you didn't separate from it at all, well, you'll get yourself into the beautifully stuck condition of being so confused about French, not being French, that the whole thing becomes a mystery. I can speak French, but obviously I am not French, so why should I be able to speak French? But I can speak French. And that makes a nice mystery. And you go around not even able to learn French. Because, in the first place, when you separated from the French race, you did an immediate they, if you were a smart Thetan. Those Frenchmen. So you got about 25 feet above that dead body. You said, look at those Frenchmen down there. There went your French. Because you were very, very careful to say so if you were smart. If you wanted your French back, just start realizing how French you are. One liability goes along with it, however. You're liable to get out of your head and find yourself over Nîmes or Reims. You'll move back over the old playing field. And you will move back out of present time, and will things look funny? See how you would go about that. So if you were at all able, when you exteriorized from a dead body, you said, their body, those Frenchmen, their earth, You know, bing, bing, bing. Partially mine, not mine. And you'd have it, you see, because you do have some slight series of incidents connected with it that you did contribute to. But if the ordinary job that is done on exteriorization of death is simply this one, they say, those Frenchmen, that body, no more, wipe out, forgotten, gone, period. In other words, the guy does an almost violent proper ownership of the whole works and detaches from it and still leaves himself with a little fragment of the whole thing by then introducing some other factor and then by saying, now I will have to forget it all. See, that is another factor and not a necessary one at all unless you're trying to convince somebody that you shouldn't be locked up in the Bastille. Most Thetans have a fear of past crimes, so on. You know what I told you yesterday, they're hit and then they think I'm guilty. You know, they get hit and then they say, well, I must be guilty of something because I was hit. So they're killed. So they say, well, I must have been guilty of something because there it is, dead. The immediate conclusion is I'm wanted by the wrong people. You get the idea. The shock of death is sufficient to convince somebody that he's done something. That's why he very quickly reverses on the responsibility scale. And that's why he has a dwindling spiral. So an exteriorizing Thetan ordinarily is not going through a really proper procedure at all. He's merely saying, no responsibility. But he just happens to hit this ownership button properly. And then he adds the extraneous, forget it. You know, otherwise he'll be arrested or something of the sort. And that's that. He's gone. He's out. He's no longer interested. And that's the end of that game as far as he's concerned. So he does this bang, bang. Just he knows enough to do this. But there is extraordinary pressure on it that shouldn't be there. Because he's dead, he must have been guilty of something. This proves it, doesn't it? He's dead, isn't he? There was a blow or a shock or an explosion or something happened. Because even a quiet, quote, natural, unquote, death, whatever that is, generally on exteriorization there will be some explosions of ridges or something like that. There will be a disturbance, an electrical disturbance. There will be a shock back as far as the thing's concerned. He goes out then believing that it was he who killed the body. That's about the least thing he'll believe. And maybe in the next life he floats along with the body, you know, killing it. Why? Because he's a killer. Well, why is he a killer? Well, the last body he had died, didn't it? See, the stupidity of it. There is no real logical. Now, if you wanted to rehabilitate this, just that, you start exteriorizing by whatever process, ownership or anything else, you exteriorize somebody from his body, and then have him get again the correct ownerships of the forgetters. Who said forget it? This between lives area thing is merely so a person can say, they said forget it. And that makes the forgetter persist. See, the forgetter's been misowned. And this gives a bad memory that psychology talks about and so forth and about which we're not interested. See, the forgetter has to be misowned to be effective. But the odd part of it is the memory doesn't, because the Thetan basically knows everything. So the only thing he can misown is his stupidity if he wants it to stick. That's why you can change people's IQs. You just get the ownership of their stupidity. Very simple. You see how you would use this practically? Let's get it real straight. If you want to possess and have, you better misown. See? And by misown, we say just assign the wrong creator. And you'll have something. And it'll persist. Assign the wrong creator. This car was built in Florida. It was made by me. This beautiful John Alden yacht that I designed. You see? And then when one changes his game, to go through the very nice little ritual of assigning back the proper ownerships and bother the forgetter. First thing you know, you'll wind up with all your experience intact. And none of the playing fields. There are people walking up and down the street all day long. They're stuck in playing fields all over the place. They're in a factory in their youth. They're in space opera way back when. They're in a time when they were a priest. You say to some old-time Dianeticist who's come into Scientology, now we're going to ordain you as a minister. The fellow goes, No! None of that. Well, rather than argue with a guy, you simply say, all right, and I get the idea of being a priest. Well, what can you be that's real close to it? Well, I could be a demon. I just work him around, have him be various things of this character, and the next thing you know, he'll tell you confidentially, well, I feel a considerable confidence in the idea that I could probably be a cardinal, but not a minister. Have him be a few more things like that, and he's, I don't know why I've been worried about this. Well, he's been worried about it because sometime or another he was either violently anti-religious in some role, or he lived that life, or he was a persecuted monk or something of the sort. He's led an unsuccessful life. Now, let me show you this. Every life we lead and die from, we catalog as unsuccessful. Let's just look that over. Every life we lead and die from, we catalog as unsuccessful. Truth of the matter is, you successfully got through that one. All right. Very germane to this subject of ownership and responsibility and control, because that's all the same little ladder. I'd better tell you something about another process, which is quite close to this. Why won't individuals uncommunicate, break communication? Fellow's stuck to the wall, he won't let go of it. All right, ownership is your first key and clue. This brings about an obsession on his part that he must not break communication once started. And he begins to feel that he cannot possibly break a communication if he has begun it. Now, this is idiocy. Because you wrote Eisenhower a letter means now that you have to write Eisenhower letters. Well, that's the way it figures, isn't it? You started to communicate. If you're unable to stop communicating, any time you've started communicating, you're being penalized to some degree, aren't you? Now, let me tell you about a completely and utterly and fantastically unworkable process. This is the most unworkable process that anybody ever investigated. It has no benefit. It's all liability. It would simply be this question asked over and over and nicely acknowledged. Did it sound just like an auditing session? Hope no psychologist gets hold of this. Yeah, because you'd have to do it just to find out if it happens. He would have to. Now, so I'll give you the rest of it, how you would solve it. It's just an experiment. It's a wild thing that you could do to somebody. You say, now, give me some things you could go out of ARC with. Or, give me some things you wouldn't mind breaking communication with. He gives you some, and you say, fine, fine, good, good. Give me some more things you could break communication with or go out of communication with. He'd say, fine. He'd tell you some things. Fine. You'd say, all right. See what a nice auditing session it sounds like. You know, right up to there. It just sounds like the real McCoy. Sounds real good, you know. And you say, give me some more things that you wouldn't mind going out of communication with. Well, this is so logical. So very, very logical. Because the truth of the matter is, the only reason the man is stuck on the track is because he won't go out of communication with the past. See, he just won't. He refuses to. Still got it. Wants it. So obviously we have to repair his ability to break communication. Otherwise, we won't get him cleanly breaking clear of the time track at all, will we? There's a theory behind this. Nice theory, isn't it? So we say, give me something else you wouldn't mind going out of communication with. And he gives us something. If I wouldn't mind going out of communication with my mother, you say, that's fine. Now give me something else you wouldn't mind going out of communication with. Well, I wouldn't mind going out of communication with my boss. You say, that's fine. Now give me something else you wouldn't mind going out of communication with. The fellow say, the whole planet. He'd simply go into rage. And he'd go into enough sufficient anger and rage that you would find him unauditable. Right at that point, he would blow the session. I've done this several times just to test it out. Having the antidote right to hand, it was very easy to do. Get the guy turned around and back in and run the rest of it. A couple of auditors have done this just to make sure that this was the mechanism, and it is the mechanism. The effort to go out of communication with eventually gets himself so stuck that he goes into rage, and rage is the emotion which is designed to break communication but doesn't. It just stacks it up. You recognize the emotion there. It's just the effort to go out of communication, that's all. And to keep on informing people you're going out of communication with them. And the boy does not come up above rage with the process because he blows the session and goes out of control. Now, this doesn't much matter what person you're running it on. That's what they do. That's the end of that. So it's an utterly unworkable process. Day or so, they'll settle down and start living again. But here is this situation. A process which sounds like a legitimate process evidently is completely unrunnable. And obviously, if you wanted to get somebody unstuck on the time track, the most logical thing in the world that you would do would be to rehabilitate his ability to break communication. Certainly, you've got to break communication with the past in order to get him in totally in present time. He's got to be willing to let go of something on the time track before he'll come out of it. All right, where's all this lead? It led immediately to consequence processing. The first edition of consequence processing ran this way. It's the very first one. What would happen if you got angry? On and on and on and on and on. And eventually, clean that up, and the fellow said nothing. You know, he's burned. And then you can say, what wouldn't you mind going out of communication with? And you'll only get a little sputter and yap about it. You've already solved the consequences of anger. He's fighting anger. And as long as he cannot break communication, time, the single aberration, will continue to depress him down the tone scale. With each forward ticking moment, he will get stuck tighter and tighter and tighter down to anger and then blow it and through to the lower harmonics. And that is the mechanism of the dwindling spiral. There's no more complex mechanism than that about it. Do you see it now? With each ticking moment, time is breaking communication for him. And if this process, what wouldn't you mind going out of communication with, winds him up in anger, certainly time going tick, 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 which is break communication, break communication, break communication, break communication, certainly would wind him up in going down scale. And that's how people descend down that tone scale and why they wind up where they wind up. It was the most basic reason. How do you clean it up? Consequence processing or ownership processing or consequences of ownership, so forth. You could combine these. But the way that you would handle this would be the most basic fundamental way. What would happen if you got angry? What would happen if you got angry? And it's evidently apparent immediately that if we're going to get anyone totally above 1.5 on the tone scale, we're going to have to run what would happen if you got angry sooner or later. Now, a thetan can get up above 1.5 on the tone scale with the greatest of ease, but you can get a body up there too. It's the body that gets stuck in covert. The game called society is covert hostility, propitiation, politeness, so forth. That's stuck below 1.5. It's very dangerous when it's stuck below 1.5. There's no reason why this game could not be carried on above 1.5. But as years progress and arthritis sets in, the tickety-tick, tickety-tick, tickety-tick of time, breaking communication, every cycle is saying break communication, break communication, break communication, break communication. Of course, it's also saying make communication. Saying make communication, break communication for its whole cycle. And if an individual cannot have make communication, break communication, make communication, break communication, he can't ride along the time track. He'll just simply stick harder and harder, more and more, into misowned incidents. This is the mechanics of this universe. This is how this universe throws downscale the luckless Satan who is living in it. Because he believes, as everybody believes, that there are vast consequences to anger. And every time he starts to get angry, which is to say, break through this, he said, no, I mustn't get angry. I'll get sick and people get mad at me and I will starve to death and horrible consequences will occur if I get angry. So therefore, I've got to kind of float along with this time track one way or the other. And he starts to pull loose from various points on the time track where he's misowning and gotten stuck, and he feels himself starting to get mad. And he said, no, no, I just have to float along with this time track. We have to restore to the individual the freedom to be apathetic if he's in pretty bad shape, and then the freedom to be angry, or simply the freedom to be angry. One case, by the way, fooled me one time very recently, right on this same fundamental. I started running this process. Now, what would happen? I knew this person was stuck all over the time track, and this person was not high enough upscale to run ownership processing or responsibility or anything else. So I simply started in, and just the fundamental that I already had, and this fundamental was simply this. What would happen if you got angry? What would happen if you didn't get angry? What would happen if you got angry? What would happen if you didn't get angry? By which we mean plus and minus running, as is marked on these charts. What would happen if you got angry? What would happen if you didn't get angry? What would happen if you got angry? What would happen if you didn't get angry? I was getting no comm lag. So I says, aha, process too high. Let's start down at the bottom. I started down to the bottom and chose just at random at the bottom, sleep or unconsciousness, and ran this flat. What would happen if you got unconscious? What would happen if you didn't get unconscious? What would happen if you got unconscious? What would happen if you did? Got that cleaned up. That cleaned up fairly easily. Came right on upscale through various other, you know, what would happen if you hurt? What would happen if you didn't hurt? Which is above anger. No comm lag again. So I dive back downscale once more. So it couldn't be because this person is not an apathy case. Well, as a thetan, this person wasn't an apathy case, but the person's body was stuck solid in apathy. And I said, well, now, all right, let's just take the tone scale on. What would happen if you got apathetic? Duh. Terrific calm lags. What would happen if you didn't get apathetic? Oh, terrific calm lags. This person was stuck on the lower harmonic of anger as a body. Cleaned this up, went up tone scale, got up There was nothing much on grief, more or less cleaned up, got up to anger and cleaned that up rather easily, and then ran, what wouldn't you mind communicating with? What wouldn't you mind breaking communications with? What wouldn't you mind communicating with? What wouldn't you mind breaking communications with? The person just ran like a well-oiled dream and soared right on up tone scale, 2.0, boredom, conservatism, enthusiasm as a stable tone. So I wonder how many cases in Dianetics and Scientology are parked below 1.5 as a physical body or as a Thetan end body, simply because they do not dare be apathetic or angry. How many? And is this the barrier which prevents a person from coming up tone scale rapidly? And yes, my experience in the last few months and weeks has told me that it is. An inability to break communication will depress a person on the tone scale. So we have a very interestingly simple mechanism for getting a person upscale. We have to get the consequences of these emotions and the consequences of no such emotion. Consequences of apathy, consequences of not being apathetic. We have to get the consequences of these emotions or anything else that occurs. Right along with this are the consequences of unconsciousness and the consequences of pain. We have to clear these up to some degree. If you wanted to solve an engram all the way across the board, you would certainly have to run something on the order of what would happen if you became unconscious. What would happen if you didn't become unconscious? What would happen if you got hurt? What would happen if you didn't get hurt? And run these things flat. Those are pretty high tones, by the way. But that, of course, runs out the most holding basic of an engram. We knew in Dianetics that it was pain and unconsciousness which pinned the engram where it was. So you can run that by consequences processing. But you won't get people up tone scale as long as they are afraid or unable on the subject of apathy and anger. Well, that doesn't mean you want everybody going around mad dogging with anger. The funny part of it is they only go around mad dogging with anger when they can't be angry. They only go around being obsessively apathetic when they can't be apathetic. They only go around crying, crying, crying because they can't cry. When they can do these things, they don't have to do them just to prove it. And we get into proof. Neat process right along there, by the way, is proof. You say, what have you got that would prove anything to whom? Or invent some proof. Fabulous process. This whole category of invent. Invent some time. Invent a game. Invent proof. Rather fabulous processes. Consequences, then, on the tone scale. It's the most vital process that you'd have to get rid of to get a case coming up scale. Because they're going to hit a barricade. And the barricades, if they're above apathy, will be anger. And if they're apathetic or around there someplace, will be apathy. And the mere thought of breaking communication will put them into the solidity of apathy or grief or anger, the three ridges. Just the thought of coming up to present time would be enough to pin them into apathy or grief. What would happen if you got apathetic? What would happen if you didn't get apathetic? Resolves this. So this goes along to a marked degree with ownership processing. Of course, ownership process is sort of a sledgehammer. You simply say to the person, get the idea of who owned it and who didn't own it and so forth. And there's no energy left around to be stuck to, but this doesn't mean he's going to be terribly happy about it. No great liability connected with it, such as other processes, perfect duplication, and so forth. But he doesn't quite like to give up that much mist, he thinks. He'll have rationalizations. Whereas what would happen if you got angry? What would happen if you didn't get angry? He comes out of that cleanly because you change his consideration. And when you change the consideration or the ideas of a man, you make him well. And when you change his mist, you've changed his mess. Well, now, do you see these mechanisms? They are quite interesting. And they bring processing out of the dark ages of maybe into a considerable certainty. Anybody whose case is lagging, he's getting lots and lots and lots and lots of hours, you know, and he keeps piling it up. I can remember times when he kind of started to get mad or started to feel apathetic during a session, checked himself, or the auditor checked him, and he went on running the process. In other words, he tried to come upscale and go past those bands. And social agreement says, thou shalt not rage. And so he just sticks right. How many preclears have gotten parked below that band? There's no telling. But now that you know this, there's no reason why they should be parked there any longer. Thank you.